Volker Lendecke, our last speaker in this track and for today, for this conference, works for and is part of the Zanet company, who is also hosting this conference, member of the Zamba team, and will be talking about Zamba three quarters combined setup.
Three quarters. That's an open office artifact, by the way. Three/four, they have a whatever glyph for that. And so, this is not, as you might guess from what you see on the screen here, is this is not a talk in the narrow sense. I don't have slides, as I already announced in another talk. How did this talk idea come into existence? A couple of weeks ago, we had a meeting in Göttingen with some Zamba team people, and I just again presented what Frankie would be about, where it came from, and they said, oh, you have to talk about that at Zamba XP. And so I hope this can be used as a whatever point of discussion where we find how to proceed further. What is Frankie? 2 years ago, I think, we, after Zamba XP, sat together and said, okay, we need to get Zamba 4 out the door. And we tried to find ways to make that as quick as possible. And what, at least to us at that point, was kind of clear that we need Zamba 4 Active Directory functionality, and on the other hand, also need Zamba 3 file server functionality. And so we made some whiteboard drawings, which component would be able to do what, and where we draw the lines between the two code bases. Much of the reasons why Frankie ever got to exist have now been obsoleted because of the merge work Andrew has been doing in the last months. What I'm presenting here essentially already worked 2 years ago without all that code merging, and that was the basic idea of this Frankie approach, that we can ship a Zamba 4 product without merging that code. You might have heard in the past talks here that quite a bit of productive code came out of this initiative, like the name pipe forward, or like whatever infrastructure, better RPC infrastructure, and so on. But the initial goal of Frankie was to be able to ship a Zamba 4.0 without this code merge, by just having these separate components really kept separate, just a quick path to a Zamba 4.0 release. So this didn't happen, as you all know, but still I would like to present some components here that still exist, that still work, and yeah, just give you a little overview why we did that and how we did that. So what I have here is two windows. This is my virtual machine where I just do a very quick intro into what I was about to make work initially, which is the Zamba 3 SMB password binary needs to work against the local Active Directory. SMB password minus A, it just has to work. It's in millions of scripts out there. And we just have to have seamless authentication. SMBD needs to seamlessly authenticate against the local SMBD, against the local Active Directory, and so on. All that needed to work without this code merge work. So I know there are people in this room that have never set up a Zamba 4 server. That's why I'm doing it here. It's very quick and slick. So bin provision, I think it's sbin provision. This is a build as of, whatever, 2 or 3 days ago, merge build. Thanks to Andrew Bartlett, we now get a Zamba 3 build out of the Zamba 4 top-level build. So that's simple. Take master, do a configure and make, and make install. That's what you get here. I don't want to go with this old laptop in front of everybody. So this is essentially DC promo. By the way, where does it get its defaults from? I just removed everything.
Magic, like some of the rest of the code we have.
Okay. One of the nastiest things here is I have to match the password requirements, complexity requirements at this point here. And the other one that I would like to point out here in the audience, it's only asked once. So it would be nice if that asked would be asked a second time just for cross-checking.
Also, if you get it wrong, it will not fail at this point, but somewhere later.
Yeah. I mean, just things that I found. So, this is essentially what PC Promo did for a completely fresh domain, first domain controller, fresh domain, a bit faster. This is a 128 megabyte, whatever, virtual machine. So, what did this get us? It installed a fresh SMB.conf that I will modify to get the Frankie set up with two little settings there. It also set up the complete private directory with things like secrets LDB. We don't have a secrets CDB anymore. We have a secrets LDB and so on. And the user database essentially lives here. So that's LDB files. That's the local representation of our LDAP style, data model style database, which is essentially then exported via Active Directory, via LDAP methods by Samba 4. So, essentially you can start Samba 4, you have a DC now. I want to have the Frankie style setup, and this requires two little modifications. The first one is I need to remove the SMB service from the server services parameter. And I can never remember the list of parameters, so I do Samba tool, test parm. Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Signora,
yeah, I put it in.
Oh, you put it in. Okay.
Just to give you an idea of the services we serve, so that's the list that I can never remember.
Yeah. Well, I didn't like remembering the list.
So, equals minus SMB. That's the way it has to work. And so we have to configure the Samba 3 component of this with passdb backend equals ADS. And that's pretty much what it is. We now start Samba 4. Yes. Surprisingly, it just worked when testing it in your talk without that. I wonder how that worked. Yeah. So, Samba. Okay, we need to fix that. That Samba 4 complains about unknown parameters. Likewise for the Samba 3 components, like SMB password, they complain about the unknown Samba 4 parameters. So we just need to silence that warning. That's all. Oops. I think, yeah. And we now start bin SMBD. Sbin SMBD. Here we are. What we have now is...
What password did you change?
Nothing. I did a mismatch. I couldn't control C for some reason. Next part of the show, I will show you. So, what do we have here? A couple of Samba 4 services. And then... two SMBDs. This one here is just the background LPQ updater daemon, I think. You can configure that away, but so. What happens here is that this SMBD here listens on port 445 and 139. That guy listens on all other services, like port 88, port whatever, 389 for LDAP, and so on. And what I can do now is minus A VL. That's the old Samba 3 SMB password binary that hopefully continues to work, that worked 10 minutes ago. Ask me for a password, and if I type in my favorite one, the error message sucks a bit. If I type it in my favorite one, ASDF, it doesn't work because it creates a user using native Active Directory LDAP tools. And this violates then the Active Directory enforced password complexity requirements. But this is one sign that we actually use some before integrated Active Directory compliant methods to, we don't write into the database directly. So I use the very highly complex password with capital zero. And now what should work in theory is SMB client. Bad network name because I connect to temp. Let me connect to netlogon. That works. And the different things, the different components that come into play, I will talk about a bit later. One thing I want to show you now is next screen. That's the old SMB status binary that shows us exactly that session, same output. So these are Samba 3 components that authenticated against the local Samba 4 domain controller for SMB. This here, this VL, that's a bit fake at this moment. We already talked about the WinBind component. That's fake. I put that into etc passwd for this test. What we will have to do is on such a combined setup run WinBind locally to take whichever WinBind to provide the Active Directory LDAP-based users to the local and switch system because that's strictly required by Samba 4. By Samba 3 as well. Samba 4 is a bit liberal in that. Yeah, Samba 3 requires local Unix UID and GID for accessing file systems. So we will need to extend WinBind. UID allocation is a bit fishy. We need to invent the UIDs,
yes.
And that doesn't work yet. So the ID map
that uses Samba 4's ID map. Not right, but
yeah.
It works.
Okay.
So
it's not scalable. It's only single DC. It's not whatever in DRSU API, and it doesn't work. Sorry. Yeah. So what components are we using here? And that's essentially whatever the live show that I wanted to do. And this piece has worked 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. Now let's walk through some code pieces. The two essential interfaces, there are three essential interfaces that I want to show you. The first one is the PassDB PDBADS PassDB backend. For those not so familiar with the code, we have PassDB backends, and those are essentially... Initially, they were designed as an abstraction around our access methods to our SMB password file. It evolved a lot. I don't know what version number for the interface we are at right now. It evolved a lot, and it morphed into a rather complete implementation of the SEMAR, remote procedure call interface. It has semantic differences. There are places which are missing. There are places which are go beyond what SEMAR does. But the core routines like creating users, enumerating users, a group membership, all the group and group types that NT4 SEMAR provides are there. So it's a relatively good match of the SEMAR.IDL, of the central parts that are used in SEMAR.IDL. And the central methods we have implemented here in... the central method to do that, so what do we have? Samba 3 SMB password needs to access the SMB password file. To do that, it goes through this PassDB interface. To set a password to create a user, we have methods here. For example, let's look at create user. This essentially is a routine that a PassDB backend can implement to extend SMB password file by one line. And what we do here is we contact the local Active Directory, which is a bit hidden here, but we contact the local Active Directory via LDAP methods. And to do that, Samba 4 has opened an LDAP iSocket that gives us privileged access without having to authenticate into the LDAP directory. And this LDAP socket is somewhere hidden in private LDAP I, LDAP priv. This is the Unix domain socket that the Samba 4 LDAP server listens on that gives us direct access into the Samba 4 LDAP database so that for the SMB password experience, we don't have to mess with LDAP admin DN, LDAP whatever, LDAP bind DN, and things like that. So the SMB password command that I typed into add a user just directly connected here, did an LDAP add on the user, and then all the magic machinery that Samba 4 has to create all the additional attributes and so on, and whatever, check the password requirement, password restrictions, and so on, they apply here because we use standard LDAP with the additional privilege that we are on the local machine and that we don't need to authenticate. Protected via completely wrong permissions on this box here.
No, it's the directory.
Yeah, but it's... Ah, okay.
If you look at the socket.
No, that's a socket.
Yeah, socket has permissions directory 7.0.
Where are we? Private... Ah, okay, here we are. Yeah, okay. Those permissions are sane. So, what we have done is we have implemented a small, not invented here, LDAP library. There are some things that you cannot do with the standard open LDAP libraries. So that's one piece that fell out of this. It's a completely asynchronous client implementation of the LDAP libraries. When you look at the standard RFC, C LDAP, C API to LDAP, it seems that they have asynchronous methods. Without the _s, they seem to be asynchronous. They are unfortunately not. They are asynchronous in terms of when the server spins for a while, that piece can be covered. They are not asynchronous in whatever when the sending piece of the socket blocks. And so they are not really fully asynchronous. That's the reason why we wrote this tLDAP asynchronous access method to LDAP. This right now, as it stands, is only good for local Unix domain socket. I mean, it works over TCP, but it does not have any TLS support. It doesn't have any fancy SASL bind support and so on. It can be extended. It's based on the libraries, on the tsocket libraries. But this is what we are using to implement the Samba 4 access to the SMB password file, redirect that to the Active Directory. So that's one piece, PDB ADS. That's what was important to make the SMB password work. Bin SMB password, administrator. Another one of the highly not password things. So I try the old one that I had set with the DC promo. Doesn't work anymore, just to show it again. That one should work. It doesn't, whatever. I mistyped probably. Let me try the password again. I've typed that so many times that I hope I won't mistype it. No. That's the fake piece, maybe. Well, whatever. I mean, that worked previously. I'm not going to debug it now. VL should still work. Here we are. Next piece. It's the authentication. WinBind has to make sure that administrator and password actually match. So the administrator has typed in his password correctly, which he obviously has not. How does it work? When Samba works in domain membership mode, all the authentication is being done via NetLogon methods. NetLogon is an RPC interface, remote procedure call interface provided by Windows domain controllers that make it possible to provide the from the challenge response methods, the challenge response authentication, just provide the blobs we get from the client, the blob that we invented ourselves, just shove them up to the domain controller, and the domain controller will take care of that. That's the basic idea of the NetLogon SemLogon call. And this is exactly what we are using here. I mean, we are at a domain controller. So our local box should be able to provide anybody who is physically able to access that with NetLogon services. And that's what we are using here. And that's what this auth methods NetLogon-D does. And there's a few little tricks that we have to play. The code lives in auth NetLogon-D. So our central routine to check stuff is always called check underscore whatever type security. And what we have here is essentially a routine, I mean from 10 miles above, a routine to convert the user supplied info, the one that we got from the net, into a server supplied info, the one that we got from the domain controller. That's the 10 mile above whatever. So how does it work? Okay. Wait a second. Where do we have our... This code might have changed. Ah, okay. We need to connect to our local DC. And this then is also to connect to the local NetLogon DC, a NetLogon RPC service that provides us with this service. Okay, here's username and password. Is that right? Get me the group list. That's the basic idea. It's being done by the NetLogon code. And what we do is we have a call, and this is one of the pieces that just fell out of this this initiative. To have this RPC infrastructure in Samba 3 just much more flexible than it used to be before. So before this was started, we could only use the RPC infrastructure to connect to a remote named pipe server. The usual way that Windows clients use it to connect to NetLogon is they open an IPC dollar SMB connection to a domain controller, they open --/- pipe --NetLogon, and then do transaction over that. That was the only way we could ever use the NetLogon named pipe RPC services. This has been changed, and what we now do is we use this OpenNCal RPC, and what you see here is a Unix domain socket path. And Unix domain socket path is just a raw transport for these RPC data, and Samba 4 does provide a Unix domain socket like the LDAP interface. And now I have to find where. I think it's here. Here we are. These are also Unix domain sockets provided by the Samba 4 server that provide the equivalent name pipe services. I'm not sure whether we actually connect to those or to the general NCAL RPC service. You can proxy as many RPC services as you want over a single transport. They are then marshaled, or the differentiation happens at the RPC bind call. I'm not sure if we connect to that, essentially this one here, or one level above, that one here.
I think it's that one.
Yeah, I'm not entirely certain, but that's a detail that, yeah. So, what we do is we connect to the NCAL RPC Unix domain socket providing RPC services. And if you look at the details, there's one thing that makes you wonder, wait a second, we need a machine account to connect to a NetLogon. And how do we get the machine account password? And the initial approach was to have a script inside Samba 4 to provide this machine password that the domain controller, we are the domain controller, joined its own Active Directory with. And after a while, I looked at the code again. It broke. I couldn't find the My Machine Password script anymore, so I did a different thing. And I said, wait a second, we have privileged access to LDAP. And we are using what we are using now is the normal TLDAP connection, again, that we used for PassDB into the Active Directory LDAP, and we just retrieve the machine password via LDAP. And happily, Samba provides that to us because we are essentially coming as user system. We can do anything. Samba gives us the unicat password of the machine account that we are joined to our own domain, and we can then use this machine account password to set up the S channel and then use the samlogon calls over the netlogon pipe to the local netlogon service. And this really fits in nicely with the existing Samba 3 authentication infrastructure because it uses exactly the same methods we had to implement anyway for a normal domain membership. So, as I said, unfortunately, I don't have slides. One thing is the PDB ADS thing. Second thing is this auth methods that we can use. SMBD can use just the normal standard RPC methods to authenticate its users against the local EC database. So we have no business in accessing the LDAP database for that purpose. And that's all we use anyway. All information we use anyway, we get out of the NetLogon SamLogon response. So, one thing left. One question is, who does SamR services? And in this approach, we have two options now. So somebody comes in over named pipe, over SMB, and connects to our /pipe/SamR, and somebody has to provide the mapping of SamR calls to LDAP calls. And so what we initially did, and we have two SamR servers. We have one in Samba 3, and we have one in Samba 4. Both have different features. They both do the basic, okay, create a user, whatever, put the user in that group. But we have two implementations of the SamR server. The Samba 3 one is completely based on this already mentioned PassDB interface. The Samba 4 one directly connects via LDB calls into SamDB, DSDB, whatever you call it these days. It directly connects to the LDB files I showed you earlier without going through any abstraction interface. But it is more complete for what an Active Directory client would expect. So in Samba 3, we need to really decide, or in Samba 4.0, in the joint code, we need to decide which SamR server and LSA server and so on we use. And so what we did is we added a named pipe forwarder to Samba 3. And I just want to show you where that code lives and how that works. And how that connects to other external named pipe servers. And Simo's code or Andreas' code makes use of that now for the spool SS service. So let's go to SMBD ntcreate ntrans.c. This is where the big SIFS ntcreate and X call ends up in Samba 3. So essentially, here we end up when we want to open a pipe. Opening a pipe is the first step in connecting to an RPC server. And what we want to do is, when opening a pipe, we can either go in and connect to our internal Samba 3 services, which live in RPC server, which live here, Or what we now can do, and this is what I want to show you, is we can connect to an external Unix domain socket, because essentially an NPipe is just what it says. It's a pipe. It transports data back and forth, and that's it. If we are connected to IPCDollar, and if we have... I've recently seen a server which actually had NTPipe support equals no, which is so weird these days. Ben?
I just wonder would it even work.
Yeah, it does. But we had a bug report that Notify wouldn't work against that kind of server. So, I mean, if a Windows client says, okay, this doesn't do any pipe support, they can't do a Notify at all. Whatever. So, do NT create pipe open? We go to NT open pipe. This is still generic. We haven't yet decided whether to do the internal service or the external one. How many stack levels can you go deep? NP open, yet another one. And this is, I think, supposed to be a completely asynchronous wrapper, no? Not yet. So, here we are. Here's the decision. Here we decide what kind of service to use. The default in Samba 3 right now is to use the embedded ones. But what you can do, and I think the syntax has changed recently, is, and this is all not, nothing of this is fixed yet, but you can say npproxy:samr equals external or something. So here you can decide to use an external SAMR server. Andreas, I think you were in that code recently. Okay, you were. You might want to tell me now what I have to put into... Pardon? LSI?
Yeah, RPC.
So?
Yeah.
So, let's try that. That's always my standard call if the basic pipe not available. That wasn't it. No.
It might be using
okay. Pardon?
So we have two pipes, the ones, the default one.
Yeah.
The NP ones, I think we have the default one.
Just tell me what to put in here. That has changed. I didn't test it.
You need to set the NCAR RPC code.
Whatever. For the demonstration, just if it had worked, I haven't tried this in the previous talk. If it had worked, and we just need to figure out the correct configuration, what would happen here is RPC client, and this is an RPC LSA call, would do the named pipe open. And what would happen here is we would go in the Samba 3 code. We are back in the Samba 3 code. Make external named RPC pipe. And what I would like to see here at some point is a Unix domain connect. Somewhere deep inside, this will lead to a Unix domain socket connect call, which then would connect to private, no, it's in varlox. No. So the way it happens is we are in the NT-created-X, opening to whatever SEMR, and somewhere deep we do a Unix domain connect to this Unix domain socket. And then when somebody writes something to a pipe, when somebody does a trans to whatever command on the pipe, we just write the data that we get in into this Unix domain socket. Samba 4 then spins that with, or any spool SS daemon, anybody who sits there, just spins the request, sends the reply, and all this is going to be completely asynchronous. So the Samba 3 daemon can just, while the Samba 4 daemon is enumerating its 10,000 users, can just continue servicing SMB requests, unblocked, nothing, and whenever data pops up here, we will respond to the trans2 response, we will respond to the read and x request that the client has sent us. Completely asynchronous, because we just have this socket as reading. We're looking if that socket is readable, and when that is, we just take the data and put it back on the wire. And so, essentially, those are the basic pieces that I wanted to show you here. And that's what, yeah. Now I think we should open the discussion forum here. And, yeah.
Are there any questions? Did you see any?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I have a question.
So, currently you go through PassDB and you call LDAP calls with PDB.
Yes.
I was wondering if you have tried to call SAMR calls SAMR 4 directly.
SMB password, I think, still calls direct PassDB calls, but we are in the process. I think Günther has done a lot of work. I mean, maybe Andreas as well. If you look at here for the SMBD LANman code, that's the old RAP code that we have. We have changed a lot of that already. Here. What call is this? Group enum. That's the RAP call for group enumeration. This used to have direct SAMR call, direct PassDB calls. And in the process of, yeah, frankly, in that whole whatever revamp of internal structures, we did the following. We created this one. I don't know exactly who created that. I think it might be Metz or I don't know. Somebody created something that we can completely abstractly connect to some SAMR server. And wherever that is located then, that goes through exactly the same code. So this call now implicitly connects to the SAMR 4 LDAP via our SAMR 3 PassDB, via SAMR 3 SAMR server, going out to the PassDB ADS. That one then goes out to LDAP. So I think we're not completely finished. I think SMB PassDB binary still connects directly to PassDB, but it could be converted to just using SAMR calls. And that's definitely on our roadmap to just get rid of all PassDB calls that are not in our SAMR server. Yep. More questions?
So what's the ultimate strategy for people who have existing NT4 domain controllers running on SAMR 3? They want to move to SAMR 4. I mean, obviously, they're going to have to run some scripts to migrate.
Exists.
What does that look like? Yeah.
Oops. And you're done.
Wow.
Yeah. I used it.
So that creates a
at least it used to work at some point.
So does that?
Yeah, okay, that will require additional provisioning, but that's the advantage of the ADS call that the bulk data.
Yeah.
So, I think I have at some point then whatever messed with the seeds or whatever, I have artificially provisioned SAMR 4, and then created some user in SAMR 3 with the right seed. So
hang on a minute. So you have to provision SAMR 4
with
first.
The existing seed of you have. Essentially, what you have to do at some point is read the existing SAMR 3 domain seed and provision it correctly. I mean, provision does have a domain seed parameter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this could be scripted where you basically say, okay, I'm upgrading my old NT domain database to a new AD database.
Yeah.
Pull the SID out, provision appropriately, and then convert all
the
users.
It's probably not complete that we don't get all the all correct information, but the basic stuff works.
Great. So we need to log some bugs on what we don't get and then fill them in. And
Bartlett has a comment, I think.
So this approach, I think, is really important, but I think mostly for SMB password and TDB backends that are simpler, yeah. We have this script that Metz was working on for converting a full LDAP directory, because you'll have other details like the groups and things that PassTB doesn't.
PDB takes care of that.
With the import
I think you have to give it a minus G or something.
Okay.
PDB has also support for the group.
Yeah, it's got bits of that. So that's... we also need to handle basically making sure that we don't end up walking over another DC's read pool. And there's lots of bits and pieces, but we've got the bits to work with this, and we can script it up.
That's the initial migration
for
the first DC in our forest.
Yeah, so we can then kill those things out of a read pool. We can do things like put this into a Python script that gets all the provision right by looking at the right things.
Yeah.
You know, we have the parts.
But as I said, I mean, much of this talk is a bit obsolete in terms of it hasn't achieved its goal. Frankly, it has not achieved the goal to ship a SAMBA 4 without having to do all the merge work of the last 6 or 8 months or so. And as I said, this has worked 2 years ago, exactly how it works now. I mean, it has bit rotted in the meantime, so there were times where it did not work, but all the approach was completely finished, like whatever summer 2009. And, more questions?
How do you handle offline operations? We can't get the SAMBA 4 DC up. SMB password won't work unless SAMBA 4 is actually running?
Yes.
Do you consider that a limitation? Or?
I mean, true, it is a limitation at this point. What we would have to do then is, have a safe mode. I mean, we need clean access to the LDB databases, including all the modules, including all the correct schema checking anyway. Mm. That might be an open point, we didn't address it.
Okay.
Michael. With the last talk, we might take another 5 minutes or so.
Just another question to somehow get the picture right. I mean, recently, Andrew has added this PassTP LDB or whatever module to, instead of talking to the server, go directly to the LDB database of SAMBA 4. The question is, would it be in principle possible to run this here in this setup as well?
I think it should. Yes, sure. I haven't compiled
basically
that.
Should. So, and this would be... the fix for an offline operation, of course, but...
that's why I'm running
that. Oh, okay. Oh, good, that's it, thanks.
Any more questions? Yes? Interactions with Kerberos. Just wondering, going across the name pipe interface, does the ticket get across so that the... all of the pack, etc., gets through now?
What we do is, where's that code? What we do is, we take the info3 struct, that's what we call info3 struct, so the meat of the pack. We take that, and when connecting to that Unix domain socket in SAMBA 4, we just pass that along, unmodified, as the initial blob that goes before any user data is being sent. And SAMBA 4 accepts this and makes a system session or the session information out of this blob. It trusts SAMBA 3 to have authenticated correctly.
Yeah, I wonder whether we need the ticket itself in some circumstances. If, for example, we need to talk to another domain controller using that ticket, is that true or not?
That's all right. It's moved on. It's no longer the info. It's actually exactly the same before.
Okay.
Sure.
It started out as the info3.
A couple of things have moved on since the original work was done, though I'm mostly to blame. It now takes the SAMBA 4 session infrastructure and also has always included an exported GSS API credentials, or at least the possibility for that. And so that's catered for in the protocol so that we can...
it's IDO generated, so we can put in anything easily.
Yeah. So those ones have been thought about by someone who I think Metz, when he started, he was thinking well, so...
So I think we're done by now. Thanks for your attention.
And thank you for your talk.
Volker. Do you want to announce the panel session?